Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham, and back is our resident stand-up pediatrician, Dr. Jay Soute.
It's about goddamn time. How you
know.
Doing, Justin?
I'm good. We were just talking about this before we hit record. You are just a few days out from your first colonoscopy?
No. It's a series of colonoscopies. I usually take my pediatric boards and do my colonoscopy in the same 5-year cycle. So that way I get screwed up the ass twice in the same week. So well, it's good. Better that way.
What is a pediatric board? Is that like continuing education?
Well, there's continuing education that I have to do every year. The pediatric board exams that are administered by the American Board of Pediatrics. I have to recertify my board certification every year, every 5 years by passing that that test. So it's you know, they don't give you any credit for not killing anybody in 25 years of practice, so you got to take the test every 5 years.
Is that a hard test in your opinion?
To me if I do the Regis Philbin voice in my head when I'm reading the questions, like I'm on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, is that your final answer, Jay? Yeah. Then it makes it a little bit fun. And again, it's what I do and it's what I know. It's just a stupid thing to have to do every 5 years. That's okay. All right. I don't sweat it out. I certainly don't study for it because I go to work every day. And then when I see things I don't know, I read about them. So I think I'm kind of studying all the time. You know?
Right. Which is, I'm sure that's the design of it. So how many colonoscopies have you had then?
Well, because my mom died at the age of 49, 30 years ago of colon cancer, I've had to have one every 5 years since I was about 25.
Wow.
You do the math.
Yeah, that's quite a few. So you're what they call an old pro at this point.
Yeah, although, you know, I don't mind them doing the colonoscopy. I just don't care for the prep. And it's not the shitting part of the prep. It's trying to down this liquid stuff that makes you crap your brains out. It's very vile. And I have to drink 48 ounces of it tomorrow afternoon at 4. And then I have to wake up at 2 in the morning prior to my 6:45 colonoscopy to drink another 48 ounces of this stuff to get me really good and clean.
And you can't have anything to eat for the next 2 days?
Well, I can have clears today and tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow I'm going to be working all day until I'm actually leaving work early in order to hit that 4 o'clock clean out time that they want me to do. So I guess they know what they're doing. All I know is I had difficulty finding people to drive me to and from the procedure. As you probably remember, I do have two grown daughters.
Yeah, they're in their like 20s. One of them, I think, is getting close to getting married or already is.
Yeah, 25 and 27. And God forbid you ever ask them to pick you up or drive you back from a colonoscopy because they find a million excuses not to do it.
But really?
Yeah, so I have to go down my friend list. I mean, 5 years ago when I had it done, my friend Dan drove me and picked me up because neither of my daughters were available. This time, my younger daughter who lives with me, I put a roof over her head. I drove her back and forth for appointments last year when she broke her foot. I can't tell you how many Wednesdays off I blew a good day off by going and driving her down to her appointments. But ask her to go into work a couple hours later to, drive her dear old dad to and from a colonoscopy. I was able to manage getting a 2. So she's driving me to the colonoscopy at 6:45. But sadly, I don't have anyone else other than one of my nurses from the office to come and pick me up at 8:45. So, things are real light in the, I could call a comedian friend, but who can trust them?
Right. Especially at 8:45 in the morning.
Yeah, right.
The
girlfriend who lives an hour and 15 minutes away volunteered to drive up and drive me to and from, but I can't get my own flesh and blood to agree to it.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me. Is it that are they new at these jobs that they're worried? Like, because I feel like that's a solid excuse.
My dad needs a pickup.
I'll tell
you the exact excuse that I was given. Dad, Becca, my older one who's getting married, is having her engagement photos taken on Thursday afternoon, and I already asked to get out of work 2 hours early on Thursday, I don't think it would be good for me to go in 2 hours late on Wednesday. So the engagement photos went over my colonoscopy too. And it's a sad situation of affairs. So, you know,
is it she the teacher or no?
The teacher is the one getting married. The younger one is the nanny.
Okay.
God forbid she go in 2 hours late to nanny.
Well, here's the thing. I'm always going to choose you, Dr. J. But I feel like as a nanny, it is harder to because they don't usually have backup nannies, right?
No, no, that's true. But maybe just out of concern for my colonic health.
Yeah.
My daughter could have sold it a little better, maybe.
Oh, okay. So when you say sold it, do you mean to her employer or to you?
Yes. No, to her employer.
Okay, I see. Okay. Yeah. That makes, that's the thing. I feel like to say, listen, it's just a bad week. And unless she's somebody who's always going in late or cutting out early.
No,
right?
She's not.
Right.
She's
so not. Then you're fine. Like once every, you know, 2 or 3 years, you have a bad week where a couple days you got to leave a, you know, because it can't be a couple hours either. You know what I mean? Like if you're not, you're a guy who works in medicine. It's not like you're going to know that she doesn't have to come pick you up until you've been actually discharged. You don't want her there staring at you while you're still in recovery and all that stuff, right?
Exactly. All I need. Listen, if they let me freaking Uber home, I'd Uber home. But apparently that's not allowed.
Really?
Yeah.
I could take an Uber here in California. You could take. I took an Uber to get my LASIK, but maybe it's because there was no anesthesia involved.
And an Uber home too, because the Uber will take you there, but they will not take you home.
Yeah, Uber took me home after the surgery because I was by myself, literally.
Well, you see, that's what it's like when your wife dumps you and moves to another town and you're running out of friends because, you know, you're a prick cocksucker and nobody likes you anymore. It's tough when you have these medical procedures to be done. And unfortunately, my friend Dan, who drove me 5 years ago, he's got the Lou Gehrig's disease, the ALS, and he's doing very poorly with it. And God damn it, he'd probably drive me and pick me up with the ALS, but I just had the sense not to ask him.
It is hard. I don't look forward to this day as a parent myself in that. You know, you can't help. You want to be the person who takes the high road as a parent, but you can't help but think every like soccer practice or recital, everything you drove them to and from. And then now all of a sudden you're asking for a little quid pro quo, Clarice, and you got nothing. Mum's the word.
You got that right. And I didn't even bother to ask the teacher because, you know, I want her to keep that job. She's got one more year and then she'll be tenured. So yeah. I don't want to screw that up. But, you know. And like I said, it's just, you know, they put it this way. When I went in June to Block Island with the girlfriend, as soon as the ferry boat landed on Block Island, I get a text from the 25-year-old that she's got a fever and she's sick and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm an ocean away from where you are right now, you know?
Yeah.
And then I went to San Francisco Labor Day weekend. The freaking plan lands in San Francisco, other side of the country, and I get a text that she just has a flat tire. What the hell am I gonna do about a flat tire when I'm standing in San Francisco?
This is the one that lives with you?
Yeah, and I got a reminder. You know, you got another parent that's actually in Connecticut.
Yeah,
but again, I'm the favorite, so.
It's a burden. We all carry the burden, but I'm baffled by this. So it is to say that it doesn't annoy you would be a lie, right? To say it bothers you a little bit.
It would have annoyed me a lot more if my only other choice was to inconvenience my girlfriend, who would have to drive an hour and 15 minutes to be here for 6 o'clock to drive me, and then stick around. Maybe they'll stream my colonoscopy to her phone to keep her interested. I don't know. And then drive me back at 8:45 and then drive an hour and 15 minutes back to where she lives. If that was the only option I had and both my daughters said they couldn't do it, then I think I'd be upset. But I like to inconvenience people as much as possible. And, you know, as I'm getting older, if there is any kind of affliction that overcomes me where I'm going to be dependent on someone to help take care of me, even for a couple days post-op, I'm fucked.
Yeah, you're going to have to outsource that big time.
I will.
Yeah, and you paid for the college education of both kids?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
And I loaned money for the bigger one to buy a house, and I'm already $4,800 into her wedding paying the photographer off. So you know how it is.
Yeah, that's...
There's no payback. And it never ends either. 25 and 27, you figured they'd be, you know, just, you know, daddy would get a phone call a couple times a week, but... I guess I'm glad. I mean, it's at some point they got to grow up, right? I'm hoping that once the older one is married in a year, that they'll be able to do some problem solving themselves. You know what I mean?
That's what you mean. Okay. I was wondering, like, well, what is growing up? Do you think that when they are in quotes grown up, that they will be more available to help out their old man? But I think
they should be less available to help out their old man.
Because they are
grown up, also less up his ass when things go sideways.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that this this inability to pick up pops for the colonoscopy return trip would be less bruising had it not been for the texts when you're out of the country or on the other side of the state for these small problems, right? A fever is not a big deal for somebody in their 20s, right? Or at least shouldn't be in your mind.
No. She ended up going to a walk-in, and they did a tick-borne illness screen, which my insurance company deemed experimental, and I got a bill for $2,300.
And do you have to pay that $2,300 bill?
Oh, no. Dr. Sutek called the Quest Laboratories and took care of that.
Okay, good. Good. That's more salt on the wound, I would imagine.
You know how they say that phone calls may be recorded for
quality purposes,
quality improvement.
Yeah,
yeah. If they recorded that one, they would have had to put the E explicit code next to it.
What happens? I feel like this area is much like the ladies' room is to me. It's a mysterious land that seems so magical. What happens when you call a pharmacy or any kind of healthcare provider, and if you say you are a healthcare provider and you press that one button, what happens? Do you immediately talk to someone, or is it also a long on hold, or what?
No, you get a voicemail.
Oh, that's all it
and
is?
And it says, if you're a physician calling with a new prescription, please press 1. If you're a physician calling with a refill, please press 2. If you need to speak to the pharmacist, please press 0. And then you wait on hold for a while.
Yeah, so you don't have a hotline at all.
No, we can bypass a lot of stuff. Like, I know with certain pharmacies what button to press, so the minute they start talking, I just press. I get right where I need to go. But then you have to still wait for someone to pick up. Unless you have access, you know, like at work, I send them all through the computer and I don't have to deal with any human-to-human contact.
Oh, that sounds so sweet. I love that. I love that as even a patient. I like that they could go, okay, we're going to send this over to the pharmacy that you prefer. And then,
and then you get there and it's ready and you go home and you take it and you feel better the next day.
Magical, magical time.
Yeah. We get that science juice into your body, things start to turn around.
Speaking of magical time, all of the Worshams have had, it is your favorite time of season. It is flu season, as you said.
Yes.
And flu shot season, I should say. And all the Worshams have had their shot. And for the first time ever, at ages 10 and 7, there were 0 tears for the flu shot. And so I want to thank you for...
If I could have an applause
I got it right
audio,
here.
I would play
there it. We go, right here. There it is. It happened. We did it.
We're 6 victorious. And 9 didn't work out so well as you look back.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Ages 6 and 9 didn't go well.
No. Weirdly enough, what happened at 6 and 9 was the 9-year-old had a panic last minute. So the 6-year-old jumped up and I remember him leaning into the shot and it was a year before that he had to have multiple shots. I think at the 5-year he had to get a bunch of vaccinations. So if I remember correctly, the flu shot was the 5th one that he got that year. And he also leaned into it because he was just trying to push through because he got hit 5 times and she was pretty quick about it. And then on that 5th one, he just leaned into it like, yeah, get it over with. And then,
tell the 11-year-old that checkup at 11 is a doozy as well.
No,
so.
he's a worry wart. So here's the thing. I am a failed parent in that I don't pull punches. I say brace yourself because here's exactly how it's going to go down. And I like to think that it, although it affects them negatively in areas like shots, I think it affects them positively in all other areas because they deep down they know dad's a straight shooter and isn't gonna lie to him to try to get him to do something that he needs him to do, right? Like or
right.
That
right. I tell the kids all the time, I don't lie to them and say it doesn't hurt. I tell them exactly, it's a little pinch, and sometimes I'll just give them a little pinch and they'll go, ouch. I said, see, it's gonna be just like that.
Yeah.
We also have, I think I told you once, we've talked about the shot blocker, the little plastic doohickey that you put where you're going to give the shot. It has little kind of stubby things on it that sensitize the skin into thinking it already got the shot.
And then I don't remember this at all.
I'll send you a picture of it when I get a chance. But it's a nice little thing, and whether it actually does what they propose it to do, it definitely chills the kids out if they think you're doing something to make it hurt less. And then there are other kids where, you know, you just throw the shot blocker across the room and you pin them to the floor and you just jam it in. So,
and are you?
I mean, let me tell you, last Thursday, myself, my partner, and my two nurses, four of us doing it between the hours of 5 and 6:30. So in 90 minutes, we did 110 flu vaccines last Thursday afternoon. And you wonder why I need to do stand-up comedy?
Is it like a pediatrician boot camp where it's a machine that dun dun da 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 da? Is that how it feels? Is it like you guys limber up and go, here we go?
And then once they start coming, we got such a good little system that we've developed. We just take, you know, the receptionist has them sign all the forms. The vaccines are drawn up. We grab which ones we need. We take the kids to the room. We've got the alcohol wipes and the gauze and the Band-Aids all lined up on a shelf ready to go. Boom, boom, hit the Band-Aid. Send a couple of screaming children back through the waiting room so the rest of them know what's coming.
Yeah, that's the only thing I think you got to do, right, is you got to get a back exit that you could send kids out through so that, you know, everybody has no idea that Soylent Green is people. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah, it's a bad advertisement when you see, like, kids just screaming as they're walking through the waiting room because they don't even have to stop at the front desk to check out or anything because the flu vaccines get billed to the insurance company. They don't get charged for it. And just the kids are fresh from that shot walking through the waiting room screaming.
Well, one of the things that happened for
us—not a dry eye in the house, as I like to say.
One of the things that happened this year was I was mid-sentence, like talking, because I came late because I had a meeting before while everybody else got their shot. And which reminds me, I should talk to you about this. I'm a horrible father. This just in, but I walked in and I was talking to my kids and my wife, and evidently when she went to give me the shot, I stopped talking. So evidently I was the only nervous one, and I didn't even notice I stopped talking, but everybody else did, and the kids got a good laugh out of it. And I forgot what I was saying. So I didn't feel it. I didn't notice that, but it had to have bothered me on a subconscious level that I literally stopped mid-sentence while she gave me the shot and completely forgot what I was talking about entirely.
It froze, yeah.
Yeah, it locked me up for some reason, which, I mean, listen, I don't look forward to it, but I've never been a person that I can remember who was afraid of getting shots. I'm sure when I was a toddler, it was an issue. But anyway, the thing I want to talk to you about before we get into, well, let's go back into flu shots. Or, you know what, let's wrap up with the flu stuff because...
I'm getting mine tomorrow, by the way.
Okay.
I'm going to the Bahamas on the 14th, and I don't want to get on a plane with at least some protection. So I decided tomorrow was a good day.
So
I was on call this whole last weekend, so I'm not at work today, thank God. Let me tell you, I got woken up at 5:45 this morning with a three-year-old who was croupy, and I could hear the kid barking in the background. He had a fever that was like 103 an hour before they called. They gave him Motrin. He was down to 101.7. And my instructions were, you know, I really think he sounds terrible. Get in the car, go to they'd already tried the cold night air and all that stuff. So I said, go to the emergency room. So as soon as I wake up this morning, I call my office to let them know about the kid I sent to the emergency room so that they could follow up on him. And they said, oh, he's here now. They decided not to go. So what the fuck did you wake me at 5:45 in the morning for if you weren't going to follow my instructions? Thanks. I had to get that out.
No, that's good. That's what this is here for. I had a moment where I was trying to get some clarification from my pediatrician. I have my pediatrician's cell phone number as well. And I desperately, I very consciously do not ever abuse it. Like I'm always like, this isn't a thing to go into, but, Yeah. And so do you think that that was just a flu related thing or something more intense?
No, it was a croup. It probably was a croup.
All right.
Which we start seeing once the temperature goes down at night in the fall and spring. We see it when the temp is like in the 40s and stuff. So
why is that? But is again, it just coincidence or?
You know, no, that's just when the virus seems to circulate the most. Oh. I mean, we see some over the summer, but not as much as we do like October, November, and then February, March. Those months we tend to see a lot of it. But yeah, it's aggravating to me that I was even involved in the conversation, because the choice when your kid has the croup is he going to live till the morning or do I need to take him to the emergency room? Okay. Now, if you've already decided the emergency room is out of the question, why did you call me? For me to reassure you so you could go back to sleep and say everything will be fine till the morning? But when I say go to the emergency room, they don't go. And I have no control over that part of the equation, sadly. Yeah. You know?
Well, and what
we
about...
We get graded on outcomes and such, and to not have whatever your treatment plan is followed through on, and knowing when they walk out the door, you give them a prescription for an antibiotic, but one of their friends might say that antibiotics are poison and they decide not to give it. And then the kid gets sicker. How do I even know that people are doing what I'm asking them to do?
Yeah.
It's scary.
Unfortunately, I have to be a jerk and cut us off there because that concludes the free portion of this episode. If you would like to listen to the rest of this episode and all of the other full episodes of the Dad Podcast, all you have to do is go to thedadpodcast.com. That's thedadpodcast.com. Include that the, thedadpodcast.com. Right there on the homepage, there are links where you can become a paid premium subscriber and get all of the shows full length moving forward. If you have any issues with that, send me an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening and thanks for your support.